Couple of amazing medical stories in the news this week. One out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, where a little three-year-old boy named Sam, I'm sorry, three-day-old boy named Sam, had a brain tumor show up on an MRI, little microscopic tumor, and so Dr. Paul Grab and his surgical team at Memorial Hospital for Children in Colorado Springs went in and opened him up and found not just this tumor, but a perfectly formed foot and the formation of another foot, a hand, and a thigh. Dr. Grab said it looked like the breech delivery of a baby coming out of Sam's brain. To find a perfectly formed structure like this is extremely unique, unusual, borderline unheard of. They say it may have been a congenital brain tumor, or what's known as a fetus in fetu, in which a fetal twin begins to form within another. But he says such cases very rarely occur in the brain. The good news is that he has mostly recovered from the surgery and seems to be doing fine now that a couple more weeks have gone by. The other remarkable story was the story out of Cleveland of a face transplant, a first-of-its-kind operation done at the Cleveland Clinic, where a woman had 80% of her face replaced. This is a woman who had had severe trauma to her face, and she needed her, well, essentially her entire face other than her forehead, her lower lip, and her chin, all replaced in this 23-hour surgical procedure. Now, Dr. Art Kaplan is going to join me now. He's the director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania and a contributor to MSNBC.com. And as a bioethicist, I wanted to get his view on procedures like this. Hi, Art. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. I know that I talked to you several years ago about procedures like this, and you were not in favor of them from a bioethical standpoint. What did you think of this one?
Probably I first heard about face transplants 10 years ago, and I worried that the techniques, the skills were not in place to give it a reasonable chance of success. You certainly don't want to get in a situation where a face transplant fails. Remember, it wouldn't be easy to get another face to retransplant. It's not like trying to replace a kidney if one fails. I'm not even sure surgically you can do it because the face is so damaged and altered by the first transplant. If it failed, I think you'd be in a world of trouble.
Uh-huh.
So that bothered me, but I think we've improved on the techniques. The surgical techniques are better. We got better drugs than we did 10 years ago. There was a partial face transplant, some of the listeners will remember, in France about 2 years ago. That seems to be going okay. Maybe a quarter of the face was replaced, and it seems to be functioning. So different circumstances, risk-benefit has now changed positively. That's sort of what changed my mind about it. On the other hand, there still are a number of important ethical questions to think about with this, but I'm not against trying it.
Okay. This woman had to have bones added and moved around, muscle and skin and blood vessel and nerves, and she got a nose, which she didn't have before because of this severe trauma that she'd had. She had to have the sinuses put in and her upper jaw and even some teeth. This is remarkable surgery, but before you go through something like this, do people at the hospital have to sit around and decide whether it's okay?
They do.
Is there a review board?
There is. And so all experiments done at American hospitals have to be reviewed by something called the Institutional Review Board, or IRB. It's basically a human subjects ethics committee. And the Cleveland Clinic has one, and they reviewed it, and actually permission was given to do this procedure 2 years ago. So they've had permission for a while. They've just been looking for the right person to try the procedure on. In addition to that protection, obviously, you have to get the consent of the subject. So the woman who got the transplant had to get fully informed, counseled. You know, this is not like any other transplants that we do, because it's going to be obvious to people that you've had a transplant.
Yeah.
If I have a heart transplant, no one needs to know that unless I tell them.
Right.
The relatives may recognize that face a little bit, got emotional issues there, and the risk factors are still big here. You know, I hope it works, but it could fail.
Let's go back to the relatives for just a second. The woman who had the surgery, the face that was put on her body came off of a cadaver.
It would have been a body still on life support, but someone pronounced brain dead. It wouldn't literally be a cadaver in the morgue. You'd still be in a ICU setting because these tissues require blood flow to keep going. Otherwise, they're going to be no good.
Okay. And that person who was on life support had obviously agreed ahead of time that they were going to donate whatever parts of their body could be used for medical science. But did that woman's family have to go through a review process for this and give it an okay as well? Or was it just one of those take what you need kind of deals?
Yeah, it's a great question, Paul. I have talked to the Cleveland Clinic people for a couple of years about this, and my view is this. You wouldn't use someone and shouldn't who didn't have a donor card or didn't have a driver's license checked off and without getting the explicit consent of the family. Now, normally a driver's license or a donor card is sufficient. You know, you have that, you say you're going to donate your kidneys, it doesn't matter what your family says. If that's what you want to do, a hospital could override your family's objections and take it as long as you have the card. Your wishes, in other words, trump everything else. Yep. But in this case, my view is, you know, the family has to go through the process of seeing that face on another body. It's going to be pretty emotional for them, too. I think you need their permission, and that's what Cleveland Clinic did. I do know that they got permission of the family as well.
So now, and this is the really science fiction bizarre part of this whole thing.
But Paul, let me add one other thing.
Yeah.
It is time to revisit our organ donation laws. In Missouri and Pennsylvania, every state has a law that recognizes the driver's license and those donor cards.
Yep.
But most of us, when we signed them, we weren't thinking about our face. So I think we might want to put a box on there that says yes to kidneys and hearts and livers, yes or no to the face, yes or no to the hand. You know, transplant is moving into this new world of external organ transplant, and most of us weren't thinking about that when we were hanging around motor vehicles.
Yeah, I actually think that the organ donation thing should be opt out, that everybody should automatically be included in this because we have a drastic shortage of donated organs for transplants.
I am thrilled to hear you say that. I wrote my first article in favor of default to donation in 1983. I absolutely believe that it still respects people's rights to say no as opposed to asking them to say yes. But when someone dies psychologically, it's a heck of a lot easier to say, you know, normally, we do take organs and tissues for transplant. Do you have any reason to object as opposed to saying, would you give us permission to take something?
Yeah.
It just flips things in a direction that is much more comfortable for family members and makes it more likely that you're going to get yeses. I really agree with that.
Yeah, the fact that we have people waiting years for livers and kidneys and hearts and lungs and eyeballs and all the rest of that sort of stuff in a civilized society just seems horrible to me.
And, for children who need hearts, for example, 90% of the kids on the waiting list are going to die. There's no organs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible, and we need to change that. But let me get back to the question here, the science fiction part of this, which is the relatives of the donor said, okay, you can use her face to transplant onto this woman, and we don't know the identity of the woman who got the transplant. But so, you know, the transplantee who now has that new face, is it possible, Art, that a year from now, after she's completely healed and she's up and she's walking around and living a semi-normal life, that she could be walking down the street and somebody from the family is coming down the other street and they go, oh, my God, Mom, you died last year and here you are walking down the street?
Sort of. The new face with all the bone rearrangement and restructuring is not going to look exactly like the donor face did on the donor body.
Okay.
But I have a feeling that a relative, particularly a spouse or a parent, there's enough there that they might get a vibe that this is, in fact, that face. So it will look different. By the way, just transferring the tissues and the muscles and the bones, it whacks them around a bit so that they even change in their appearance. And you might say, well, how much is that going to change? Think about subtle things like plastic surgery. Even small changes for us as human beings, we really notice the difference in appearance, so to speak. It doesn't take much of a, you don't have to remove a lot of tissue from your nose for us to all be jumping around and say, oh, that's very different. You know, now you're a beauty, you weren't before.
Yeah.
So those things make a difference. Still, I think they would. I'm going to answer your question and say, yeah, roughly, dimly, vaguely, yeah.
Wow. That would be awfully creepy, I think.
Yep. And, you know, some people are also going to say, I can't stand the fact that my daughter died or my husband died. How about I insert myself into your life because they're living on through you? And that's one of the worries you have about something like a face transplant that doesn't come up when you're transplanting a liver. Most people aren't emotionally tied to their livers. They certainly are to faces.
Right. If there isn't somebody in Hollywood right now writing a script based on this, are you kidding me? Somebody loses their long-lost love. A guy loses his long-lost love. She dies, but her face gets donated to somebody else, and a year later he just happens to run into her in one of those...
Lifetime Channel 2 months.
It could happen. Listen, before I let you go here, let's talk a little bit about death with dignity in this country, because that's one of the things you were concerned about in this case.
Well,
if it doesn't go well, what's going to happen? And my question for you is, where are we here at the end of 2008, and do you have hopes for it getting better under a new administration in 2009?
Well, in that MSNBC column that's online that I wrote about this, I said, you know, if this thing goes wrong, and it can, because organs reject, and the facial tissues are really sensitive to rejection. They're kind of the, for biological reasons, the most likely to reject. If her face falls off, sloughs off, it's a nightmare. You can't get another one on. Now you're talking about eating through a tube, and we don't even need to get into it. It's just awful.
Yeah.
So would you then permit the person to say, you know what? I don't want any antibiotics. I don't want any treatments. I want to die. And at the extreme, if they said, I can't be like this, would you help them die?
Mm.
And my argument was, you'd better be ready to answer both of those with a yes. And I know that's controversial as all get out, but a failed experiment like this, we've never seen anything like this before. And I think you got to be ready to go that far.
And you got to have explained it ahead of time so that the patient knows, look, if this doesn't go well and you say to us later on, that it has not gone well, and I don't want to be a part of what is happening to me, then, I mean, you have to have that discussion before the surgery, right?
Absolutely. Some ancient listeners here may recall when Barney Clark got an artificial heart back in the 80s.
Yep.
He actually asked that they shut it off. He had nosebleeds and strokes and all kinds of psychotic episodes. It was miserable for him the time he was on this artificial heart, and the doctor said no. And that stuck with me, and that's why I brought it up in case it failed for this woman. I hope it doesn't. But you have to be ready to deal with that kind of a request, and I would make an exception here to the usual rules against murder and homicide and assisted suicide. I think it's a different game when you're in a situation where you have no face and stuck on technologies and suffering. It just sounds so awful that I think you have to make room here to allow that to happen.
I would agree with you 100%. Art, great stuff. Thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, my pleasure.
Dr. Art Kaplan, who's the director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania and a contributor to MSNBC.com, here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.